Welcome to Beyond Grit, the podcast that seeks to create and foster a community of people who want to learn, develop, and employ the 10 powerful practices to gain a high-performance edge. Whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just someone looking to improve yourself, the Beyond Grit podcast shows you step-by-step how to reach your peak potential. The Beyond Grit podcast is based on the book Beyond Grit, written by Sindra Kampoff, PhD, founder, and CEO of Mentally Strong Consulting, and a professor at Minnesota State University, Mankato. Sindra, a keynote speaker and entrepreneur, is also a certified mental performance coach for professional athletes, executives, and championship teams from around the nation, including the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. Sindra's co-host is Tim McNiff, Emmy Award-winning news and sports journalist, strategic communications consultant, and storyteller for the National Sports Center. This is the Beyond Grit Podcast.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome back to the Beyond Grit Podcast. I would be Tim McNiff, and that means you would be...
Sindra Kampoff. What's up, everyone?
The myth, the legend, happy Halloween.
I know. I'm like looking forward today and trick-or-treating and watching all the kids coming to my door. I got a lot of candy, Tim. How about you?
What's the candy? What are the kids going to get when they come to the Kampoff house?
Well, we got like a Hershey's and Kit Kats, all chocolate, M&Ms, because I just chose my favorite. I really like chocolate.
Yes, me too. So there was just this thing, and I want to run over there and grab it now because it's like 8 feet away from me. But I did this for my radio show this week, and I saw this survey on online. And so do you know what the most popular kinds of candy are right now in the United States?
I bet Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Number one. And number two is a variation of that.
Wow.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup miniatures.
Miniatures.
They are the one and two when it comes to Halloween candy.
Wow.
How about that?
How about
actually,
that?
Reese's products, they have the four of the top eight spots.
Really? What are the other products that they have?
So are you going to talk? You have to talk for like 20 seconds and I'm going to go grab this piece of paper. So what I want you to do is share with people, like, go get the paper. Your favorite Halloween memory from when you were a kid. Go.
My favorite Halloween memory was when I dressed up as a mummy. And I remember walking down, like, you know, house to house, and people didn't even know who I was. It was really fun. And I also remember, Tim, there was this time where I had so much candy in my bag, and my bag busted all over the ground. But it was great because my friends helped me pick up the candy, and they gave me an extra bag.
Nice.
So, yeah. How about you?
Well, you know what? I have two, really. When I was in fourth grade, so I was probably 10 years old, it was cold and rainy, like, the whole week, and I had been sick. And my mom, you almost had to have like a fatal symptom condition for my mother to let you miss school. So I actually missed 2 days of school, and she kept going, you're not going trick-or-treating. And I was like, oh my God, you know? So there was that. And I did go. I dressed as a, I can't remember if I was a gangster or something, so I could wear like an overcoat and a hat, you know, like a 1940s, you know, kind of gangster guy. So I could dress for the weather and not get more sick. And the other one was, I used to go with friends, and it was a beautiful one. And I got this new jersey. And at the time with the Vikings, my favorite player was Chuck Foreman, who was a running back for the Vikings. Yeah. And I got this, nobody had Vikings jerseys back then. You just didn't find them, you know, and I found this kind of like this knockoff Vikings jersey, and I wore it with my helmet and stuff like that. And so I got to be a football player, and it was a beautiful night, and two friends, no parents. We went for miles, and it was just great. And so those are my two favorite Halloween memories.
I bet you get a lot of candy.
I always got a lot of candy. A more recent favorite Halloween memory was you have two boys.
Yes.
I had two girls. I have two girls. But when they would go trick-or-treating, they would come back and I would sit there and I knew I was going to win because neither of them likes any candy with nuts in it.
Oh,
so
wow.
I got the Snickers. I got the Almond Joys, which I love. I got Baby Ruth, you know, it's just like, so.
Oh, those are good ones.
Halloween for me is the beginning of fat season because I start to pound, not put on the weight right now. And then, you know, mid-January, I go, okay, time to dial it back. Okay, here comes the candy. Number one, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Number two, Reese's Miniatures. Do you want to take a shot at number three? It's also a candy, chocolate candy bar.
Snickers.
That's number five.
Hershey's Kisses.
Didn't make it. Top 20. Hershey bars didn't make the top 20.
Wow.
Number three, they come two to a package.
Kit Kat.
That's number four. Kit Kat's a bar you break apart. In the, number three is it has caramel in it and wafer, and they're two to a package. Twix.
Oh, of course. Yeah, so I don't eat those a lot.
Kit Kat's four. Snickers is five. Reese's Pieces, six. Milky Way, seven. Now, these I've never had. Reese's Stuffed with Pieces.
I have not had that either. And that's, I can't believe that's eight. In the top 10.
Peanut Butter M&Ms, number nine. Oh. Have you had those?
Those are really good. They're better than peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms are 11. In between, wow, an old classic, the Butterfinger.
The Butterfinger. Wow. Yes.
Three Musketeers is 12. Starburst, your first non-chocolate candy, comes in at 13. 100 Grand Bar is 14. M&M's Traditional, 15. Nestle Crunch Bar is 16. Rolo is 17. Milky Way Simply Caramel, never had it. Number 18. Skittles Original is 19. Not making the survey. Tootsie Pops, Hershey Bar, Baby Ruth, Mounds, and my personal favorite, Almond Joy.
Oh, well, that's fun.
So we have just shot about 10 minutes just talking about Halloween.
You got to get back on track.
Well, it's good to catch up with you. For those of you who are keeping track, you have joined us. This is podcast number 7. We've got 10 practices, 52 chapters. And what's interesting about this, we get into number 7, we've moved into a new section of the book.
Yes.
Yes. We'll get into that. We're going to review chapter 6 first, and I don't want to. You know why?
Because you didn't do your homework.
I really struggled with my homework.
Yeah.
I did. So, okay. Well, some
other people could have easily too. So, you know, none of this work is easy because you're thinking about yourself and you're trying to get more on purpose and more intentional, which isn't easy.
I'm not sure I'm brave enough. I think it takes some real honesty and some bravery to put it down there. And if you're putting it down there in paper and committing to it, it's like, I don't want to not get it. I don't want to fail, you know? And okay, so I think I'm blocking. But the homework was to write down daily activities that could help you achieve your 1-year goal. Also, you put care for yourself. I didn't do that either.
Well, reset. Yeah. You know, sometimes at the end of my day, I usually ask myself, you know, how did I do today? Did I take 100% responsibility? Did I do exactly what I wanted to? If not, you know, being compassionate with yourself and reset, you know, tomorrow's a new day. So tomorrow is a new day and you can care for yourself a little bit better, Tim.
I worked out one day and I felt so good. I'm like, why do I not do this more? And it's just a guilt thing. I mean, I just feel like if I break up my day, I've said this before, it takes up like too much time. I just have to start scheduling it and committing to it because I have to do it. But yes, I'm not doing it.
Yes. Well, that sounds like one of your intentions that you're going to start.
Okay. So the chapter was Rule Your Day. And the purpose of the homework was to get us moving towards, I'm putting words in your mouth, but the purpose of the goal is to really take a real, real action step towards accomplishing your long range goal, correct?
Yes. Yep. So we have already talked about like helping you think about what do you want long term. We even talked about, you know, 20-year goals, 15-year goals, 10-year goals, writing them out, and then thinking about what do you need to do today or every day to reach your 1-year goals, which is something that we talked about as well.
So for someone like me who struggled with that in the last chapter, how do I get through that? How do do you need to be a psychiatrist to get me through this? And not just
No. I think, you know, I think what you said is really powerful, that there's something that's blocking you. And, you know, I think that that's awesome to recognize first. And I think that's really the key, is to notice, okay, there's something going on. Why have I not committed to my, you know, my daily activities? What's getting in my way of doing that? And doing some self-reflection. Maybe that would maybe even be do some journaling to really think about, okay, what's going on and why have I not committed in writing these 1-year goals down? Maybe it's because, you know, there's a lot of different ideas that you have in your mind. And so having a conversation about that could be really helpful with a coach or, you know, just with a loved one. And I think it's okay to, you know, the struggle is necessary. Sometimes we just kind of expect like life to be perfect, but we've already talked about how difficulties happen for us, not to us. And I just spent, 4 days in Portland at the, sport psychology conference, the Association for Applied Sport Psychology.
Wow.
And I heard George Mumford speak. This is something I've been going to for 21 years. This is the best conference that I've been to. For ASP, that's the acronym. And I was having a conversation with George Mumford. He wrote a book called The Mindful Athlete. And I was just talking to him and he said, you know, the struggle equals the swag. And I was like, ooh, that's really good. And kind of what he was saying is like, when you struggle, that's what gives you that confidence or that swag, right? But you can't really have that confidence without that struggle. So it's okay. You'll figure it out.
This is my embrace the suck moment. I mean, I really got to get over it and just do it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So at the end of chapter 6, we closed section 1. And section 1 was entitled Get Gritty. So the first 6 chapters of the book, the overarching, what were you attempting to do with by breaking the book down into sections in that first section with Get Gritty?
So the book really covers these 10 practices of the world's best. And so the 10 practices are based on research in performance psychology. Like this is what the best of the best do. And then the first one is grit. So that's all about knowing where you want to go and staying passionate and purposeful and persistent towards that, despite the struggles or despite, you know, being blocked sometimes. And then the second one, which we're going to talk about today, is perhaps my favorite. I think it can have the most power day to day and help people really live intentionally. And that's about purpose. And so the world's best really know what they want and why they want it. And they use that purpose intentionally to stay fueled and excited about what they're doing.
So the book, as I've been saying leading into it, 10 practices, 52 chapters. You didn't make up these 10 practices. This is something that you have encountered through research and you have applied these and broken them down in the book?
Sure. Like there's a lot of research about each of these practices. So there's a whole body of research about grit and why that's really important. Most of that research is done by a woman named Angela Duckworth at the University of Pennsylvania. And then there's a whole body of research to suggest like why purpose is really important and that our purpose should be beyond ourselves to help us live a fulfilled life. And there's a lot of research about the power of purpose and why it's important to consider why you do what you do and to get really intentional about it.
Well, Angela Duckworth, her book led me to your book. So her book Grit led me to your book. And now we're on to section 2. The 10 practices. Practice number 2, get clear on your purpose. And chapter number 7 is own your why. And you start out by talking about a man. And I remember having breakfast with the then assistant athletic director at Penn State University. He's now the athletic director at the University of St. Thomas, who's been booted from the MIAC in football and now is, you know, looking to, you know, do something with that. His name is Phil Esten. But when I met him, I was working down in La Crosse, Wisconsin as a weekend sports anchor at WKBT TV. And he was an option quarterback at La Crosse Aquinas High School under the name of PJ Esten. And he came up and reintroduced himself when he was helping get TCF Bank Stadium built at the University of Minnesota. And then he was coming in. We stayed in touch. He was coming into town for a tournament and we connected. And over breakfast, he said something about Simon Sinek. And I didn't say anything. He said, you haven't read, you know, Start With Why. And I'm like, no. And he's like, you got to read it. And so I read it. And I would say that that book, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the other end of this conversation, and your book like have moved me like almost few others, nonfiction books. I mean, so Simon Sinek, he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He has a TED Talk that kind of based on the book, or the TED Talk might have been the first thing before the book. And there's something that he said in the TED Talk that really hit home with me. And he said, you know, this quote, he said, working hard for something we don't care about is called stress, but working hard for something we love is called passion. And what I love about that is that, you know, we can be doing the same exact thing, but one day we're seeing it as stressful and one day we're seeing it as something we're passionate about. And I don't know, you know, about you, Tim, but there's been times where, You know, I haven't been so passionate. When I was a college athlete in particular, I didn't really realize that I could cultivate my passion. And I didn't realize that by thinking about why I was doing it would actually help fuel me and keep me excited. I didn't know the mental skills to help me kind of really be as mentally tough as I could. That's what led me to this profession because of my own struggles. But I love that quote because, you know, are you seeing your day to day, if it's work or where you're participating in sport or, you know, your coaching, are you really seeing it as something that fuels you? And by reminding yourself of your passion and your purpose every day will help you just stay with it in the long run.
And that's the whole difference is your approach towards it. As I've even talked about, you know, the activity that I struggled with so much, you can't struggle with it. You got to come to terms with it. And see that it's going to benefit you. You just gotta accept it and take it in. And Simon Sinek, you talked about, Simon Sinek has like 50 things he said like that, you know, like just like, yes. Oh, why can't I think of things like that? I mean, Simon Sinek is beautiful. Actually coming to the Pantages Theater in March, almost sold out. It's not cheap, but he's a guy that you get your money's worth. So you started with him in the chapter and you go through a number of things in chapter 7. But you devote most of one page to the so that exercise.
Absolutely.
Do you want to walk us through the so that exercise?
Yeah. And I'm going to take Simon's idea one step further. And the way that I'm going to explain it is I think it's important to know your why. But what I'd really love us to do is own our why. And to me, own your why means three things. And that's the title of the chapter is Own Your Why. Number one, do you know exactly why you do what you do? And do you keep that front and center? Number two, by owning your why, it means you communicate your why to other people, particularly if you're a leader. Do people know why, you know, you coach? Or do they know why you're the CEO? Do they know your why? And number three, what I mean by own your why is like, can you use it to inform your decisions? You know, I think your why can help you decide if you're going to say yes to something or no to something. And if you really think about your purpose when you're making those decisions, you'll be more intentional with your time and your energy. So do you remind yourself of it every day? Do you tell other people? And then the third one is it helps you, you know, say yes to things and no to other things. Because whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else, right? So being intentional with your time is really important to really be your best every day as a leader or athlete or a coach.
You know, I'd written down here on the outline after the, so that I could own your why. And then I put owning your why versus finding your why. And you've already, yeah. You just very eloquently went through all that. So there's a number of things. I mean, like every chapter I highlight so much and given the time restraints we have here, you know, I could go through a number of them. But I just don't want to cheat the so that exercise because we always go through every week and we have the homework and we'll get to that as well.
Yeah. So should we go to that exercise?
What's that?
Should we go to the exercise and should I talk about it a little bit more?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I don't want to shortchange the exercise. And I think even for this week, I think that, and I'm not the one who does this, you assign the homework, but I think we should all expect a little bit more homework this week. Because this is really where the rubber hits the road.
Yes. And so there's not just one reason we do what we do. I think there's multiple. And I think by tapping into these reasons, I think it's helpful because maybe one day you'll want to look at number two, and maybe one day you'll want to look at number six. And so the so that exercise, what you do is you start with the prompt, what good comes from the work that I do and why do I do it? So again, what good comes from the work that I do? Why do I do it? And you'd answer the prompt so that six times. And I think it's important to do it six times because again, you don't do things just for one reason. And so it might be something like, so Tim, maybe you and I can model this and just come up with whatever comes off the top of our head. I do what I do because I see that people are blocked. You know, like the example that you just said, Tim, like I see people are blocked and I see people, they don't necessarily have this tangible skills to make a change or to get out of their own way or to get unstuck. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do.
And the purpose of doing this six times.
Yeah, the purpose of doing it six times is because I also do what I do because I want to be a good role model for my two boys, Carter and Blake. You know, I also do what I do because I want to empower athletes and coaches with strategies I didn't have. And, you know, particularly that I know that I didn't reach my potential in college because I was so in my head, right? Like I just couldn't figure out how to build my confidence. Other things that I wrote is I wrote in the book to inspire other women in the field of sports psychology. That's really important to me, to show other women that you can work with an NFL team or you can, you know, go speak to businesses or you can follow your dream, follow your dreams. And, you know, I want to help people go after their big dreams because I feel like if I do that, then it's going to make the world a better place. So, Tim, give us a few reasons why you do what you do.
You know what? I do what I do because there's people out there that need help and they don't know where to go. And, you know, it's been interesting because I think like, oh, I'll help people like me, maybe people who are baby boomers who are watching this whole work landscape change in front of them.
Hmm.
But then I meet people who are just out of college and they're like, I have no clue. I have a degree and I don't know where I want to go. So helping people find their true north, their message, you know, whatever that might be, is really rewarding to me. I mean, I want to give people something that you know, all of us, nobody gets anywhere or accomplishes anything by themselves. You always get help. But I always think, well, what do I get now or what can I offer now that I didn't have access to? And so I try to make myself as available to people as I can to help people go forward. And my skill set really is in messaging. It really is helping people figure out the whole communication process. The stuff that I absolutely ridiculed as a student, I'm like, interpersonal communication. Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy, you got paid to write a book on this about people talking to each other. And now I'm like, oh, okay. It took me like 40 years to figure it out, but now I get it. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a real learning process for me, but when it all comes down to, for me, it's legacy. I mean, I just, we're all here for a limited amount of time. What are you going to do? And so I really want to be as beneficial as I can to other people. I've been greatly rewarded both personally and professionally, and I want other people to have a similar experience.
Yeah, love it. So the power of doing this exercise is you get more clarity, right? When you own your why, not just know it, you're more motivated and passionate and engaged in whatever you're doing, if it's in your with your family or your sport or your career. But what I also saw, Tim, is like, I know you better now, right? Like, you know, and so you also see this like level of transparency and vulnerability as a leader. I think that's why it's really important to explain your why and the deeper reasons why you do what you do, right? Like to leave a legacy is powerful. And you get more connected to people when you understand their why. So a lot of times, Tim, I might do this when I'm speaking to corporations, is like I have each person write their six so that, and then they share it with the person next to them. And then I even go around with a microphone and tell us one of your so that's. And the leader, you know, the CEO or the president or whatever, is always someone I ask, you know, and sometimes people don't know, they don't know what their leader's why is. And when you know a person's why, you can trust them. And, you know, for you individually, like we just talked about grit and goals, it's also important to connect your why to each of those goals to keep you excited and motivated. Because sometimes we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. And then, you know, that's the time where you got to step back and say, do I really want to be doing this?
Yeah. And sometimes when those down moments, those low moments, you know, you can kind of check, where am I on this journey? Am I doing what I said I was supposed to do?
Yes.
So let me ask you a question, not to spend a lot of time with this. You know, you just mentioned that you use the so that exercise when you do this with other companies. Yeah. But as I take you kind of, we go through this book together. Now you wrote the book, what, 3 years ago?
Let's see, two years.
2 years ago. So if I would have asked you just like and I said, hey, can you tell me your six? Would you have been able to just say off the top of your head what your six were? Would you have remembered them?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Because that makes you so authentic in who you are and where you are.
Yeah, I think my wording would have changed slightly. Like number one in the book is a little bit different the way that I said it because I'm getting more clarity on why I'm here and what my purpose is and how I really help people and the value I provide. So I think, you know, it's shifting. But I also, Tim, have my so that in on a sticky note in my car. And okay. So how that helps me is like, let's say I'm driving, Yesterday I was in Brainerd. Tomorrow I'm in Stillwater. You know, and so when I'm driving and speaking, then I can also be reminding myself, why am I coming here? What is this about? Because this isn't about me. This is about serving and helping other people. And it keeps me just more jazzed to do what I'm doing. It also helps me show up more authentically, you know, because, hey, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
You said something I used with a client this week, and it's one of my things that I say to myself as a grounding thing too, is it's not about me. And right. I said that to the client, you know, because what you have to be telling yourself, what people do when things get gritty, when things get difficult, is you look inward. And the key is keep looking outward. When the roof is falling in on you, you need to be thinking, how can I help other people? Because that's, yeah. It's weird to sound like it's not to run out of the room. It's to make sure other people get out of the room, because then the room suddenly shores itself back up, you know, by your actions of doing that. So,
yeah. And Tim, well, also one thing I'm thinking about is like the So It Lad exercise, you could do it with an athletic team. And I've done that with an athletic team where we all go around and say, what do we, you know, I play soccer so that, I play football so that, and then you go around, you keep going around, you know, and so you get to more connected to your teammates and your family when you understand their why.
And you said your last line, communicating your why helps others identify with and connect to you. It builds trust. So your last line in the chapter in big print is make a big deal about your why, because it makes all the difference. And with that, we move on to the homework. And as I was looking to the homework, you know, sometimes I look at it and I try to predict, you know, what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I looked at this and I told you earlier, I was going to say something about this as a guy who really struggled with the homework last weekend. I think you got to almost assign all four, don't you?
Oh, yes. I definitely want to assign number one, and that is to complete the So That exercise. You can do it on your own. Just write prompt so that 6 times down the page and ask yourself with the prompt, I do what I do so that. What good comes from the work that I do? Why do I do it? Would be maybe another way to explain it. And then I do find that sometimes people will say like, this writing a single why, like looking at all your 6 and writing one why can be powerful. I like the 6. I have the 6 in my car. I find that's most helpful, but sometimes people just kind of like want one statement. And then the third thing was to post it somewhere you'd see it every day, like your car, your mirror, your computer, by your desk, and then share it with someone every day. So do you think we should just assign all 4, Tim?
I do, because I think if you do number one, you can't do number one without doing number two. And then, you know, put it somewhere where you'll see it and it's going to benefit you because you've got it done. Why not? And then I think just that power of sharing it with one other person. It's like you told me even about like last week, you know, I think I need to bring in somebody else, like an accountability partner or something like that, because I'm not getting it done by myself. So yeah. I think I need to bring in someone else to be held accountable. And I think that this kind of goes hand in hand with that.
And you could even tell, you know, your accountability partner, hey, this is what I want to do. But then I think the power of explaining the why is more like of the internal reason, right? The thing that's really going to push you and keep you passionate about it. And I just think when we share our why, we're more connected with each other. And there's just so much power in understanding someone else's why. And even as you share it, maybe they have the same why and you can partner up with them. You know,
nice.
You never know. So you never know what can happen.
Yeah. Okay. Time for our gritty people of the week. Do you want to start?
I am going to start. So I'm going to give the gritty award this week to the Mara football team down in Minnesota State, Mankato. So Tim, you won't believe what they did. They set a school record last week. The score was 81-0, and the week before was 74-0. I think they're ranked third in the country right now in Division II. And I think that they're gritty for a couple of reasons. I'm a little biased because I've worked with this team.
Right. I was going to say you might be biased.
9 years. But I also get to see the inside, right? Like I get to see, you know, what's going on in their minds. And I think they're gritty because they're staying passionate about being their best every game, every play, regardless of who they're playing. And to get to be one of the top in the nation, you have to do that. And you can't, we have a phrase we say, go want to know each week, right? You have to stay present, moment focused, focus on what you're doing right here, right now, but keep that, the end in mind, but not get so over consumed by, you know, winning a national championship. So I think that's all the reasons why I'm going to say Maverick football team down in Mankato is the gritty team of the week.
Nice. Well, you know, your messaging about being that, winning that one game, you know, going 1-0 each week, hearing that very same thing from Gopherhead football coach PJ Fleck.
Yes.
So, yeah, very powerful. I struggled with it. I had two people, and I'm turning down Greta Thunberg, the young woman from Norway, who's the international environmentalist. And so they wanted to give her a $52,000 award. Norway did for the work she's doing for the environment. And she said, the planet doesn't need any more awards. The planet needs you to start being better, taking care of it, and start changing your habits. So this 16-year-old young woman is simply amazing. And she's not my choice. Ooh. My choice is Alexander Vindman. He's a National Security Council staffer and a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, who testified as a witness for the House impeachment inquiry, saying he had serious concerns internally about President Trump's demands that Ukraine investigate the Bidens. Vindman, the top Ukraine expert on the NSC staff, was particularly noteworthy because the NSC is part of the White House staff, making him the first White House aide to testify into the congressional inquiry. He chose to comply with a subpoena from the House rather than attempting to defy it, as many Trump-friendly aides have done. Vindman says he was on the line for Mr. Trump's two phone calls with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, and his testimony corroborates previous accounts that officials were deeply disturbed by the president's behavior and draws a direct line of the quid pro quo. Now, what I really respect about Alexander Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, is not just that he's a Purple Heart warrior, not that he has served his country more than once, you know, in combat, but that he did what others would not do. He red flagged something. He brought it up the chain of command. And when the upper chain of command didn't do what they were supposed to do, he chose to do the hard thing, which was to defy direct orders from above him, from the commander in chief, and to go and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And he's got to go back to work there. You know what I mean? How's it going to be going back to work in the White House after you go and do that? I mean, so that's gritty.
There's a guy
who knows all about it.
Courage and bravery.
Yeah. So I know that's probably a little political, maybe too political for some, but the book is called Beyond Grit. And we're talking about people who do things, and right, wrong, or otherwise in your political beliefs, that takes grit. You know, how many people would, no matter where you work, when everybody above you at the corporate ladder is doing something and you believe it's wrong, would you have the fortitude to stand up and do the right thing? It's a good question.
Great question.
All right. Well, with that, we went from Halloween to the congressional inquiry. You never know what you're going to get, right? On the Beyond Grit podcast.
Thank you.
As always, it's an honor to sit here. You told me off air that when you were at that conference, you geeked out.
I did.
When you saw, again, the author's name?
George Mumford.
Well, I just wanted you to know, I geeked out when you answered my email, and we've got to talk about this, and I look forward to planning this every week, and I look forward to participating with you. Thank you for your insight, and take it home.
Yeah, I would love for people to reach out to us. I know that this is helpful to you. So reach out to us. Find us on social media or send us an email. You can send me an email at Sindra Campoff or Sindra at SindraCampoff.com. I'm on Instagram at Sindra Campoff and Twitter at Mentally_strong. Tim, how would you like people to reach out to you? We'd love to hear what people are thinking about it, what they'd like more of.
Right. You know what? I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I think we probably got to set up like a Twitter account just for the podcast, you know, and just to let people know so that we can repost it there and, you know, take people's questions or comments. But we want your interaction. Dr. Campoff's making herself available to you because the Beyond Grit podcast, as we've been saying since the inception, it's all about helping you reach your peak potential. I want to remind you that you can check out this and other great content on the NSC blog page. That is, of course, Beyond the Bench. You can leave us your questions and comments right there. Again, happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe, be good out there. I'm Tim McNiff, and Dr. Kampoff, would you please sign us off?
Be mentally strong and stay gritty, everyone.
Thank you for engaging with the Beyond Grit podcast, where we help you reach your peak potential. You can find past episodes and other great content on the NSE blog page, Beyond the Bench, where you can also post your questions and comments. The Beyond Grit podcast is a production of the National Sports Center and Beyond the Bench.